Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 11th of June, 2017. It is Sunday. I'm broadcasting a day before my show will air. I am here in the Binyamin region, southern Shomron, if you will, southern Samaria, recording. Hope all is well in your part of the world. Don't forget, you can get in touch with me anytime via email, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook. Joshua Haston is my name, and on Twitter, @JoshHaston. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well. Shout out to Binyamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, who makes all of this happen. Without him, there is no audio. So I've had a bunch of guests on the program since we started the show. I don't know. I think it's been about a year, if not more. And one of the things I haven't done, at least recently, it's just talk straight news. Don't, without any interviews, without talking to anybody else, just talk about what's going on here in Israel and in the region, getting the headlines to you, and my own personal, of course, commentary and analysis. So that's what this show is going to be here today when you're hearing it probably for the first time on Monday, the 12th of June. Again, it's Sunday, so who knows what could happen between today and tomorrow. Things always changing in the world of breaking news in Israel and in this region. It happens a mile a minute, but assuming nothing catastrophic, God forbid, or anything major, just going to get into some of the stories that took place over the last several days, which I think are important to share. Number one on the list here, the Jerusalem Post reports that Israel demands the UN respond following Gaza tunnel discovery. Over the weekend, we found out that a tunnel, one of these Hamas tunnels, was found in two, UNRWA schools in Gaza. Israel's permanent representative at the UN, Danny Danon, called on the UN Security Council to, quote, strongly and unequivocally condemn Hamas following the discovery of a tunnel that runs beneath two UNRWA schools in Gaza. In a letter to the president of the Security Council, Danon demanded that, quote, this time the international community must not turn a blind eye towards such cynical exploitation of civilians in Gaza by Hamas. Now, the story is like this. UNRWA claimed on Friday that they discovered a tunnel that ran under two of their schools. They released a statement saying that they had protested robustly to Hamas following the discovery. Now, this is a change, and I think that this has to do with the President Trump effect, the Nikki Haley effect, influencing UNRWA, because we've seen in the past, we've seen tunnels and weapon storages being found in UNRWA schools in Gaza. I remember it was in 2014 that it was discovered that UNRWA was housing rockets and missiles being fired at Israel. UNRWA claimed they didn't know anything about it, but it's different now. It's different because back then, it was Israel that discovered it. UNRWA tried to downplay it. And now UNRWA comes forward saying that they found these tunnels. That is a change. Not that I trust UNRWA. UNRWA, of course, who still in their curriculum in schools, even in Jerusalem, promoting hatred of Israel. And UNRWA still, I believe, in cahoots with Hamas and the other terror groups in Gaza, hating Israel, hating on Israel time and time again. But the fact that they came forward, I don't think it's a coincidence that UNRWA comes forward as Nikki Haley is here in the region. Nikki Haley standing up strong for Israel at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, saying the United States will pull out of that council if it keeps bashing Israel unfairly time and time again, singling out Israel. All of a sudden, UNRWA comes forward and admits that they have found tunnels, Hamas tunnels, under their schools. It's not a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't trust UNRWA at all. And I'm curious to know what kind of robustly protest UNRWA sent Hamas's way. I mean, the thing is a joke. Hamas controls basically UNRWA. Hamas controls Gaza, of course. And I think this is just a PR stunt by UNRWA. Perfect timing, of course, with Nikki Haley here. But again, this is the Trump effect. I don't think that they would have come forward and announced it if it wasn't for Nikki Haley and Trump and the change that we're seeing here. I want more of a change, but the change that we're seeing here on the ground And I believe that is why UNRWA decided to come forward and admit that there was a Hamas tunnel under their schools there in Gaza. Speaking of UN, U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, I mean, she is, as they call her here in Israel, the rock star. She is the real deal, is Nikki Haley. I have pictures here of Haley down in southern Israel visiting families affected by a generation of rocket attacks, learning about the Hamas tunnels. Here's a picture of her inside a terror tunnel here in the Jewish press with with Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, learning firsthand. She was in the south. She was in the north, getting an understanding of the situation in the Golan and on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, and mobbed like a rock star that she is at the Western Wall by, it looked like, seminary students and other women who were, I read one report saying a girl had tears in her eyes meeting Nikki Haley. I mean, she's a rock star, and I wanted to get her on the show, but she was not talking to journalists in any official capacity when she was here. I would love to get her on in the future. I mean, she's I would say, the top between her and Vice President Pence and Ambassador Friedman. I think those are the top members of Team Trump, and I think they'll be the best for Israel as we proceed forward here. So that's Nikki Haley in Israel, spending, I think, three and a half days here. And she's just great. She's a rock star. Switching gears here, in other news, the Jerusalem Post reports that Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman says that a peace agreement with the Palestinians, with the Arabs living in Judea and Samaria, is closer than ever before. Reported here in the J Post, Prime Minister Netanyahu and PA President Mahmoud Abbas could hold direct peace talks for the first time in 7 years. Channel 20 reported on Thursday night, potentially a three-way meeting between President Trump, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and Mahmoud Abbas. This is a waste of time. This is another waste of time. I mean, in this regard, and I know the president was here, talked about the ultimate deal. This isn't some land deal or a deal that just can get done on paper and everything will go away. To me, this is just another continuation of the Obama doctrine, the Clinton doctrine, even the Bush doctrine, to try to agree to something with these terrorists in suits. I'm referring to Mahmoud Abbas and the PLO cronies and all the rest, not even taking into account Hamas and whatnot and what this would mean in terms of the situation in Gaza. But it's another waste of time. And God forbid, when talks collapse, what will that mean for the Jews in Israel? Every time talks collapse, we end up with terror. Israel, even when talks begin, then you have the attacks and people say this wasn't, you know, I'm talking about the jihadists, this was an attempt to thwart the peace process. No, not at all. This was an attempt, when these attacks happen, this is an attempt to further the peace process, because the peace process means Israeli concessions. So when attacks happen, it's trying to persuade Israel to make greater concessions. So what do we need Mahmoud Abbas? Why are we going down a path? I mean, is this another one of these cases where we're trying to expose the PA or the PLO for who they are? I mean, I had enough of this exposing them. We've done this. That was what Ehud Barak said. Prime Minister Barak, when the talks collapsed in 2000 and Yasser Arafat launched the Oslo War, he said, at least we expose them for who they are. We know who they are. We have not forgotten since 2000. We have not forgotten since 1964 when the PLO was established, or Munich, or the hundreds and hundreds of other attacks, deadly attacks carried out by Fatah and by the other terror groups, jihadist groups under the PA control. So we don't need another series of talks which will just end in failure, because of course they will, because Mahmoud Abbas and the others will not recognize a Jewish right here to 1 inch of land, whether it's in Tel Aviv or Haifa or Judea and Samaria. They will not acknowledge this ever, that this is a Jewish state. They will never say the words Jewish state of Israel. So this is pointless. And that's what's scary, is what will happen at the end of the day. But Lieberman still says, our defense minister, we are closer than ever before to an agreement. I hope that we will take advantage of this opportunity, he said on Channel 2 Thursday night. Does this mean we're back to throwing Jews out of their homes? I mean, we now have 400,000 plus Jews in Judea and Samaria, not including Jerusalem. If you add up the numbers, we're talking about almost 700,000 people who live in what the world calls illegal Jewish settlements. Okay? So what's going to happen to all of the Jews? You're going to move 700,000 people out of their homes. You're going to move 400,000. Haven't we learned from Gaza that this is not the way to go from Gush Katif, from the pullout? It's not the way to go. Speaking of Gush Katif, here we have the 10th anniversary reported by the J Post in an editorial this morning. 10th anniversary of the Hamas coup that enabled the creation of an Islamist terrorist quasi-state on Israel's southern border. 10 years later of Hamas rule in Gaza. Why did this happen? This happened because Israel left a vacuum. Fatah couldn't handle it. Fatah was too weak. Hamas took over. We got thousands and thousands of rockets. I'm not saying Fatah would be better in Gaza. I'm saying the entire notion of land for peace, pulling Jews out of their homes, 10,000 Jews and the bodies of those buried in Gush Katif, destroyed, destroying the homes. And then, of course, the terror groups went in and destroyed the synagogues and everything else, not using the greenhouses to their benefit, not caring about their own economy, just caring about throwing Jews out of their homes. And unfortunately, a lot of Israelis happy to see those Jews sticking it to the settler people, throwing them out of their homes, 10,000 people. Look where we are now. Nevertheless, Israel, for some reason, continues to transfer, it says in the editorial, hundreds of truckloads of supplies into Gaza daily, even though we shouldn't have to, says the editorial. And of course, if you go on Twitter, you'll see the COGAT, those in charge of transferring the goods over to Gaza, every morning saying, today we transferred X thousands of materials into Gaza. Why are we proud of that? Why do we have to be involved with that? Why are we doing that? You're transferring and aiding and abetting the Hamas terror regime in Gaza. What actually gets to the people? How many different times do we see the attempt to import and to smuggle in weapons, materials, things that can be used, supposed to be for building, things that can be used for rockets, and we're supplying it to them, and we're saying it proudly, and we're showing the world on Twitter, look what Israel did. Is it winning us any friends? Are we getting any points in the field of public diplomacy for turning over materials into Gaza, which they turn around and use in their rockets and fire at us? We're not getting any points there. This practice of turning over materials into Gaza and being proud of it should stop. We should not have anything to do with Gaza until one day when we retake Gaza, because one day it'll have to happen, and please God reestablish the communities there which are unjustly taken apart in Gush Katif. So here we have 10 years of Hamas in Gaza. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Be in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it is Joshua Haston. On Twitter, at Josh Haston. I am broadcasting from somewhere in the Binyamin region of Israel, just north of Jerusalem, southern Shomron, southern Samaria, if you will. It is the 11th of June, 2017, and this should be broadcast on the 12th tomorrow, on Monday. So you're getting this recording a day earlier. I'm going to take a quick break, come back with much more news. Don't touch that dial.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center. The view, the location, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And we are back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 11th, actually, of June 2017, Sunday. We're recording a day earlier. You'll be hearing this for the first time, please God, on Monday, June the 12th. We were talking about everything in the world of news. As I said before, I'm not doing any interviews today. Just news, just what's going on in the headlines. This is something I have not done in a long time. And we're going to go for it here today. Gil Hoffman, our good friend, reports in the J Post that the Ministerial Committee on Legislation is expected to approve a bill that would require the government to subtract the money the Palestinian Authority gives to terrorists and their families from tax money given to the PA. We know that the Palestinian Authority funds terrorists who Israel arrested and are serving sentences in Israeli jails. And we know that they're receiving funds, their families are being supported, they're getting income, and it's to the tune of, what is it, billions or hundreds of millions, a large sum of money. So now Israel says it's going to pass this legislation that whatever amount of money that they spend on supplying terrorists with their salaries, Israel is going to subtract that money from the monthly tax revenues that are turned over to the PA. Again, I can't understand why we're turning anything over to the PA. I don't know why we don't dismantle the PA, why we're bolstering the PA by turning over this tax money. I think it was some type of requirement per the Oslo Accords. Nevertheless, don't know why we're bolstering them. I talked before about how we're bolstering Hamas. We're also bolstering the PA by turning over this money to them. I think we should stop that whole practice of turning money over. I mean, this legislation is good to cut the funding, but we should distance ourselves completely from the corrupt men in terrorists in suits of the Palestinian Authority, the Fatah, PLO, whatever you want to call them, whatever branch you're talking about. They're all the same in my book. Moving on here, here's some of the same, I guess, from previous U.S. administrations. The State Department gently, I guess, maybe that's a difference, chided Israel for moving forward with plans to build 2,500 new homes in Judea and Samaria. This reported by Times of Israel, including housing units for the first new yeshuv or community, I won't say settlement, in 25 years. Asked about Israel's plans for building the new housing units, the department's spokesperson, again, this is the State Department, Heather Nauert, on Thursday made a reference to U.S. President Donald Trump's February request to Prime Minister Netanyahu to, quote, hold back on settlements for a bit. She said President Trump has talked about this consistently, and he has said, in his opinion, unrestrained settlement activity does not advance the peace process, she told reporters during a press briefing on Thursday. He's been pretty clear about that. It doesn't help the prospect for peace. So again, this is a similar, maybe it's a little bit less of a criticism, but a similar statement out of the State Department in regard to housing for Jews in Judea and Samaria, because apparently, even with the new administration, they don't believe in Jewish rights to build in our heartland. At least they want us to slow down, because it doesn't help the peace process. I mean, even though the Arabs tried to murder Jews and murder Jews for 100 years, give or take, before Israel reacquired its heartland in 1967, somehow, well, I know how this happened. I mean, the propaganda campaigns launched by the PLO for years and years, which have been effective, claiming that so-called settlements are obstacles to peace. We've heard that time and time again, and the State Department is still towing that line. See, that's why I'm a little bit concerned. Again, with the launch of the peace process, with some of this talk, I'm not saying it's the same as under the Obama administration, but still, enough already. Let's just take a new avenue, and let's say publicly, houses and pergolas in Judea and Samaria are not the reason why there isn't peace here. Let's just put that out on the table once and for all. And maybe we'll get to that point. Maybe the president will realize this, or maybe he does and is doing it just gently over time, recognizing this fact. Let's see what happens there. But again, the State Department coming out against Jews and Jewish building rights in Judea and Samaria. Israel National News reports that border police on Friday arrested six terrorists, including three who were trying to jump a fence from Judea and Samaria into pre-1967 Israel. Three of them were terrorists who were released in the Gilad Shalit exchange in 2011. What do we learn from this? Negotiating with terrorists, exchanges with terrorists doesn't pay off. This is not the first time we've seen any of these Shalit terrorists, jihadists, go back to their old ways and carry out attacks. Of course, Israel had to rearrest some of them already, but negotiating with Hamas, negotiating with the PLO, does not pay off. You can't negotiate with these people. That's a sign of weakness, and that's not what they understand. They understand strength. This is not the Western world. This is not Europe. This is the Middle East. And when you negotiate, when you make concessions, it comes to bite you 10 times over, tenfold, a hundredfold, whatever it is. But you should not negotiate or talk to these people. And you certainly should not exchange murderous jihadists who are in Israeli prisons, who should be rotting there for the rest of their lives, for anything. Be tough with them. That's the way to go. So just again, more proof that these prisoner exchanges don't work with the rearrest of three of those who were released for Gilad Shalit. Palestinian Media Watch, a source which simply translates what they're saying on Fatah television and Hamas television into English. Don't even listen to the commentary if you don't want, if you think it's spin. And I'm not saying it is. I mean, it's all amazing and valuable analysis and an amazing resource here. But just listen to what Fatah is saying in Arabic to their own people. If you want to get a sense of the reality here, I can't stress this enough, and I have many, many times quoted from Palestinian Media Watch and Itamar Marcus, the amazing work they do, simply translating Arabic into English so you see the reality, not what you see on CNN, not the lip service they pay to American audiences. So here you have another story, an Abbas appointment, Abbas's appointment of murderer to Fatah Central Committee means, quote, the prisoners' or martyrs' salaries won't be stopped, says Fatah official. So we talked about legislation earlier saying that Israel would withhold tax revenues to the PA if they keep paying terrorists in jail. Well, it looks like it's not going to stop because this Palestinian Media Watch report indicates that those who are calling the shots say that that's not happening. They're not stopping the payment to the salaries and the payments to the terrorists. Here, Itamar Marcus writes, despite the fact that the PA has been pressured by international community to stop glorifying murderers and stop paying salaries to terrorists, Abbas and Fatah recently appointed an imprisoned murderer, his name is Karim Yunus, as a member of Fatah's Central Committee, as documented by Palestinian Media Watch. Fatah official Jamal Muhassen explained, the appointment is in fact a message to all those pressuring the PA and who call for a stop of the terrorist salaries. He says, the selection of the most veteran prisoner in the prisons, Karim Yunus, is a member of the Fatah Central Committee, and this is a message that they should not think that one day the prisoners' or martyrs' salaries will be stopped. So they're already saying, Fatah is already saying, they are not going to stop paying the salaries, and this guy's a terrorist murderer, and his appointment now to the Central Committee is a message to those in the West who think that they're going to stop this practice. They are not going to stop paying the terrorist salaries. Not a chance in the world. That's my take on it. Not a chance in the world. They will not stop it. And they're saying they won't stop it. They're admitting it. So if anyone's listening in English, I'm talking about officials who want to really know what's going on, what's really in the minds of the Palestinian Authority, just turn to Palestinian Media Watch and get the true story. Regavim. Regavim is an organization I represent as their English director, international director, and the organization has launched a major campaign now to expose the reality of the illegal problem, the problem rather, of illegal building by the Bedouin community in the Negev desert. There are over 2,000 illegal clusters or villages in the Negev spread out over thousands of acres. So Regavim has put together a policy paper along with a current campaign explaining the situation, and Regavim has a solution in terms of resettling those who are living illegally and putting those on the grid, really. That's really what it's all about, getting the Bedouin to pay taxes, to be part of society. These are citizens of the State of Israel. In a nutshell, what we're talking about here, the plan is developing the existing communities. There are 18 legal Bedouin communities in the Negev, to resettle the Bedouin in those communities and to resolve any ownership claims. It's an extensive plan, expansive plan. Check it out on regavim.org. You can see the entire plan, the policy paper there. But in the interim, go to the Facebook page of Regavim and see the video which explains the situation, how you have these 2,300 illegal clusters, about 50,000 Bedouin who are living illegally in the Negev desert. And Regavim is basically saying they need to be contributing members of Israeli society, living legally, as everyone should, and they should move into the 18 recognized towns. By the way, they're the only population that gets land for free in Israel. The Israeli government gives them land for free. It says, if you move to a legal town, we'll give you land. We'll set you up. We'll put you on the grid. You'll get electricity, utilities. Everything will be set up for you, and the land you won't have to pay for. I mean, it sounds like a pretty sweet deal. And that way, Israel can reclaim the Negev Desert, which it is losing. If you are down in the Negev and you see this for yourselves, you will see that Israel is losing the Negev to this phenomenon of illegal building of these clusters. And it just doesn't end, because once you have illegal building, then you have lawlessness, then you have crime, then you have criminals who are going into IDF firing zones and stealing equipment. Just last week, it was exposed that there was a huge amount of drugs being grown illegally down there. It's just never ending, and it starts with illegal building. So Israel has to reclaim the Negev Desert. Check out regavim.org or go to the Regavim Facebook page and see what the problem is, see what it's all about, and find out how you can help influence and pressure the authorities to go ahead and take action to reclaim the Negev Desert for the state of Israel for generations. Finally here on the show, Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot is a superstar, Wonder Woman, Israel's export to the world, Wonder Woman, in a new film. The movie, based on the comic book, is now headed towards, according to the Times of Israel, $400 million in gross over the first 10 days, setting all types of records for the film industry, the biggest debut, particularly for a female director. By last Thursday, it already raked in $300 million, headed for $400 million by the end of the day on Sunday. So Israel is proud of Gal Gadot. She's a mensch. Of course, she's beautiful. And she is a just the ultimate in representatives of the state of Israel and its people, an IDF soldier. She has pictures lighting Shabbat candles with her kids. I mean, She's amazing. She's Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. She's a great, great representative for the state of Israel. We should all be proud of her and the work that she's doing, and really showing how proud she is herself of her Jewishness, her being an Israeli, her service to the country. Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. We'll leave it at that. Wishing her much success in this film and in many, many films to come. I think this is just the start, the tip of the iceberg on, please God, a great career for Gal Gadot. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. It's getting a little bit of a change here, without interviews, without guests, just with the latest news brought to you, and of course, my own personal perspective on everything going on here in Israel. As I record here in southern Binyamin, north of Jerusalem, southern Samaria, Judea and Samaria, baby. That's where we're at. It is the 11th of June, 2017. Thanks for joining us. Shout out to Ben Bresky and all the work that he does making this happen. Shout out to all the other hosts here on Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. Be in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Joshua Haston, and on Twitter at Josh Haston. I am out. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again, please God, next week, everybody out there, be safe. Shalom, shalom from Binyamin, Israel.
Hi, this is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. You can hear a new show from me every Sunday, and every day of the week, shows from another one of my very talented fellow show hosts. Reach me, Eve, at thelandofisrael.com, and keep listening, everybody. We love your feedback. The Land of Israel, coming at you every day, every week. That's the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.